And I want to read from Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses. Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So when it says the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, does anyone know who is talking about? Who is the Spirit of the Lord God upon? Upon Jesus. Do you remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus was in the synagogue and he took the scroll of Isaiah and he opened it up to this exact spot and he read it to the people. And all the people sat with their eyes wide open and listened attentively, and they marveled at the gracious words that came out of his mouth, it says in Luke chapter 4. And do you know what Jesus said after he read that? He closed the book and he said, "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." Do you know Jesus was the fulfillment of this scripture? So let's see what Jesus, when we come to Jesus, what he wants to fulfill in our lives, what he does fulfill, and what he has fulfilled in our lives when we come to him. It says in verse 1, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Do you know that what the brokenhearted is? You know that word broken? It means to be shattered. It means to be crushed, to broken in many pieces. Has anyone ever felt that their heart has been shattered and crushed in many pieces before? I think all of us at some point, right? And what happens when we get a revelation of our sin? Our heart gets crushed into many pieces, right? As we're broken, recognizing our sin. But also our heart can be broken because of hurts and because of pains, because of things and circumstances that have happened in our life. And those two things can happen when we receive these hurts. We can become hardened because we're trying to protect our heart and we don't want to get hurt anymore. So we can become hardened and kind of turn our backs to the Lord. Or we can become softened and become broken in spirit and say, "Lord, I need you." And when we do that, it says that he wants to come and heal and bandage and restore and give us a new heart. He wants to, as it says in I think Malachi or one of the last places, books of the New, as the Old Testament, he wants to restore what the locusts have eaten. You know, there's a lot of, you think of locusts as it can be the powers of darkness. It also can be people that the enemy is using, or it can be just maybe bad circumstances. But he wants to restore what those circumstances have robbed from us. And he wants to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers. And so when we come to Jesus, and this is a testimony of many of us here, right? When we come to him, he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to give us, take away that pain and that sorrow. He wants to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom. Okay, so the captives, when you think of being captive, someone who's chained up, someone who's bound in prison, someone who's got shackles on their feet and on their hands. What chains us up? Well, sin. Sin keeps us in bondage and captive. So that could be anything. It could be bitterness. We could be bound by bitterness. We could be bound and chained by unforgiveness. We could be bound by sexual sins. We could be bound and chained by many things. But he came to open, and as we'll read in the next verse, to open the prison doors. and to release the captives. And it says to comfort all who mourn. In Matthew, in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So in that circumstance, you know, that is like mourning. When you're receiving comfort, we're mourning because of our sin. We repent and there's a mourning that goes on, and we should be comforted because we will be forgiven and we'll be declared righteous in His sight when we come to Christ and receive of His blood, receive the atonement of His blood. Okay, He came to console those who mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. That's the same oil of joy, remember, that Jesus received? He received the oil of gladness more than anyone else because He loved to do what's right and He hated sin. That's why He received such joy. So he's gonna give us joy for mourning. Instead of mourning, it's gonna be joy. And He's gonna give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I think of Psalm 40, when David he cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard. And do you know when he cried out? It says when he was in a pit of mud. He was in a pit of muck and mire, and the Lord says He took him from the miry clay, and He lifted him up out of the miry clay, and He put His feet upon a rock. And there He's going to completely wash us. Because when you come out of a pit of mud, you're filthy. And He's going to wash us. And then it says He put a new song in His mouth. A song of praise. And so He gives us a song of praise and a garment of praise. And you think of a garment. And as you read in verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's, we're being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that amazing that it says, He who knew no sin, He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's amazing that although we didn't deserve it, and He didn't deserve it, He took on our sins so that we could take on His righteousness. And He knew no sin. He had never sinned. And that righteousness, it gives a song of praise in our mouth. When we get a revelation of His loving kindness towards us, there's a song of praise. There's no longer that heaviness and that weight and that and those shackles and the chains. And, you know, He does that so that He can be glorified. All the praise and the honor and the glory go to Him. And so we can be trees of righteousness for His glory. Now, I just want to hone in on one little part here. To give them beauty for ashes. Look at that picture. Beauty for ashes. You know, when you have, when something's burnt and a log is burnt, you have all that soot and that ash, and there's nothing useful there. It's worthless. You touch it and it gets all black on your hands. And, you know, this is a picture really of when people were mourning, they would put ash on their head. They would dump a dust and ashes on their head. Job did that when he was mourning. When people were repenting, they did that. And when there was a death and they were grieved, they would put ashes on their head. But He says He was going to give them beauty. And that word beauty is like it's like a crown of joy, a crown of praise, a turban. It's something to put on the head. So instead of putting ashes and mourning on the head, He's going to give them joy and praise. So I want to take it, that's the literal, right? So He's going to take that heaviness and that mourning and give us praise and make us beautiful. But I want to just take it a step further and talk about how what we give Him are ashes and He gives us His righteousness. And so what does that look like to give Him our ashes? That's give Him our self-life and we take on the Christ life, right? We give Him our will. Which is this really worthless, but we sometimes want to hold on to it because we think it's so valuable. But when we hold on to our life, it says, he who tries to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And so when we try to hold on to our life, it's like trying to hold on to ashes. It's just, it's really worthless, our life. But we find our worth in Christ. And so we can receive the life of Christ. So I'll just read a couple verses there. It says here in, let's go to, first of all, to Romans 3. Okay, so this is really all of us without Christ. This is everyone without Christ, okay? It says there is none righteous, not one. There is none who understand. There is no one who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. Their throat is an open tomb. That means they speak vile. We speak vile things without Christ before we know him. With our tongues, we practice deceit. And there's poison of asps under our lips. This is verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. This is all of our testimony before we come to Jesus. And we have to recognize that. We have to know that this is our testimony before Christ. And the reason that we're all condemned under this is so that we all become guilty. And so that we can come to verse 21, where it says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So our life, these ashes are unrighteous. We're speaking vile things, or it's a mouthful of cursing. But so that we can come to him and just simply by faith believe. I mean, Craig talked about the faith that we need. By faith believe, and so then we receive the righteousness of God in Christ, where he changes us. Okay, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all else. It's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Right? That's what it says. So that's our life without Christ. It's a wickedness. And we have to come to the place where we realize that. But when we come to Christ, it says, and when we trust in the Lord, we shall be like trees planted by the rivers of living water, and whose leaf will not wither. There's a change that happens. And it says that those who come to Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So do you see how there's this exchange? New creation, beauty for ashes. And it's such a wonderful picture of what he can do in our life. That we're just ashes, but he wants to give us his beauty. And that beauty is that Christ nature. When it says in Romans 6 that we've been, in verse 6, that the old man has been crucified with him. That's our old life. So that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then it says in verse 14, how we are no longer slaves because we're not under the law, but we're under grace. And then it says we become slaves of righteousness. So we take our old life, which is a slave of sin, and we exchange it for Christ's life, which is now wants to do its right. So it's interesting in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, there's an interesting thing that we see there. I'll read it. Genesis 5. It says in verse 1, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. In verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Do you see the difference between how Adam was created in the likeness of God? But then sin came in. And what happened from sin on? Man created, they bore children after their own likeness and their own image. And Ephesians 2 talks about that, where it says we're children of wrath, right? So we're not born in the likeness of God, with his nature. We're born children of wrath in the likeness of Adam. And another verse to explain that a little further and to confirm that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 47, I'll start, to 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 47 to 49. It says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So there it shows that we bore the image of the man of dust. We bear that image. But when we come to Christ, we start to bear the image of the heavenly man. And now we bear the image of Christ. And Romans 8 and 29 says, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, so that we can bear the image of the heavenly man. And no longer the man of dust, which is a slave of sin. So we exchange this dust, as we're created from the dust, we exchange our dust and ashes for his image. So first it's his righteousness and his through justification, right? It's just as if we never sin. And then there's a process that goes on after that as we as our character starts to become changed, right? Some things leave quickly. You know, some things fall off quickly when we come to Christ. There's a quick change in some areas. But then some areas that take for the rest of our life for changing to take place. And there's no stoppage in change until the end, right? That will continue to be changed until the very end. But thankful to the Lord that there is a change that happens. And I can testify in my own life and in people that I know, my wife and my brethren, we see many change that took place very quickly. Things that we were in bondage to, enslaved to, that happened right away. And then, of course, there's pride in different areas of the tongue that the Lord needs to refine forevermore until we see him. So I'll just finish off in Ephesians chapter 4. Before I read that, I'll read one simple verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we all with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and that can be through his word, it can be through seeing, getting revelation of Christ and his love, and the word showing us our areas of our life. And as we have faith, then we can be changed from glory to glory. He's changing us, and that's by the Spirit. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll finish off there. In verses 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Let's say put off our old man. Let's say that's dying with Christ, right? And our old man dying with him. Just as Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And then it talks about after we put it off, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we get a renewed mind. And then it says that you put on. So after you put off, give them the dust and the ashes and receive the beauty. Put on the new man. That's Christ and his character, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we know, and we can read further, but the Christ's character, the new man, it talks about in Colossians 3, and maybe you can read Colossians 3 for yourselves, but all the wonderful characteristics of the new man that we will receive and as we will be changed into from glory to glory. Of course, that's receiving of the fruit of the Spirit, and the first fruit is love. The fruit of Christ and the image of Christ is love. To have love for one another. And I had it in my heart one day, maybe soon, to do a little study on every fruit of the Spirit and go a little deeper into it. First one being love and talking about what he wants to bear in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then joy, peace, patience, on from that. So I want to get into that further one day. and talk about what the fruit of the Spirit is and what He wants to produce in us, giving us His beauty and His fruit. Amen.